gift from God. Appreciate Him for this day. He gave you this gift. It's a wonderful gift. It's a precious gift. It's a powerful gift. Thank Him for this day. It is a proof of God's goodness unto you. It's a proof of God's goodness unto you. The Lord is good and all the time. The Lord is good. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. He's good. He's good. Thank Him for the gift of this day. He's a good God. Hallelujah. Blessed be God forevermore. We bless you, Lord. We thank you for the gift of this day. In Jesus' mighty name, we have given thanks. Praise God forevermore. As you remain standing, just pick up your Bible as we are going to read and go to our text for today. Quickly, quickly, quickly. We are going to read from the book of Esther. The book of Esther, chapter 4, and we will read from verse 1 to the end. Verse 1 to the end of Esther, chapter 4. Esther, chapter 4. Hallelujah. Want to go? Let's read. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai went, rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry and came even before the king's gate. For none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and chamberlain came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, for he received it not. Then called Esther for Hegai, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hegai went forth to Mordecai unto the streets of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also, he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make request before him for her people. And Hegai came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again Esther spake unto Hegai and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the peoples of the king's provinces do know what whatsoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king has hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to that Esther had commanded him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When God makes a promise to you to go and enjoy the goodness of his house, and you get to the place and the door is locked, the church door does not cancel out God's promise. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Amen. The shut door does not cancel out God's promise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord forevermore.
Hallelujah.
I can stop now and just thank God for what he has said. Amen.
Amen.
A shut door does not negate God's promise. Hallelujah. When God tells you, I set before you an open door, and you get there, the door is locked. Glory be to Jesus. Today, I want to talk to us about how we can eliminate antitrust attitudes. How to eliminate antitrust attitudes. Because the Holy Spirit has been laying some things in my heart. Some of the challenges that his children keep having, the difficulties we keep facing that is denying us of taking delivery of God's goodness in our lives. God is good, and all the time he is good. God himself is goodness. Hallelujah. God himself is goodness. But when we are faced with a situation and we are wondering, where is goodness in this my situation? Is God still good? But many a times it is because we receive the promise of God with so much excitement and expectations, but at the slightest bump on the road, we think that the bump cancels out the promise. And then we leave it. So today, by the Spirit of God, there are certain attitudes that you have that God is going to reveal to you. And today he will show you how to overcome it. Because they have been blocking your way from being the best that you can be for God. From emerging as the best version of yourself. And for actually receiving the goodness of God in some of your challenges that you are facing right now. If you can deal, admit that this is the issue, today will mark the end of those antitrust attitudes in your life.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we are so grateful. So grateful for your word. Because without your word, we continue to live in confusion. We continue to live in ignorance. And we continue to lack all that you sent your son to die and shed his blood to give to us. But thank you that your word enlightens our darkness. So today, Father, by your Spirit, enlighten our darkness. Remove every confusion. Cancel every image or picture of our future that you didn't place in our minds. And replace it with the picture of our future that is from you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, because you're already in control and your presence is here. I surrender myself under your divine intelligence that you will speak through me today. The truth of God's word. And let it bring life. Let it cleanse our minds.
Amen.
Let it correct our goals.
Amen.
Let it heal our wounds.
Amen.
And let us experience the goodness of God in the land of the living.
Amen.
Praise God forever.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. Now, first of all, before I go into what I have for us today, I want you to take this as a memory verse for the rest of this month of November. Psalm 27 and verse 13. If you look at the NLT translation or version, it is simplified in the NLT. Praise God forevermore. Now I want you to quickly write it down. It says, yet, let somebody say, yet.
Yes.
I am confident. Let somebody say, I am confident.
I am confident.
Now write it down. Yet, I am confident. Have you written that down? Can you say amen if you have written it down? I will see the Lord's goodness. I will see the Lord's goodness. While I am here in the land of the living. Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Psalm 27 and verse 13. I want you to rise on your feet and I want you to declare that scripture to your life right now. Rise on your feet. Rise on your feet. Now we are going to say it three times. And from then on, every time you get up from bed, every morning throughout this month, make sure you declare it into the atmosphere. When you declare it into the atmosphere, the celestial will engineer its manifestation in the terrestrial. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Want to go? Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. One more time. Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. One more time. Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. So shall it be for you as you have confessed in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There are some things that I want to bring out of the experience or the encounter that Esther had in her life. We all know from what the Bible told us about Esther. Esther was an orphan. She had no father, she had no mother. But she was brought up by her uncle. His name was Mordecai. And Mordecai took on the responsibility to mentor Esther all her life. He's been mentoring her. He obviously wants the best for Esther in life. And because of that, when there was an opening, an opportunity that came, calling all young ladies in the whole area, because the king was looking for a bride. Mordecai saw it as an opportunity for Esther. Obviously, Esther was beautiful. A virgin. And Mordecai must have thought to himself, well, this is an opportunity for Esther to forget her past. An opportunity for her to maximize her life. an opportunity for her to become a better version of herself. And so when the opportunity came, he quickly seized that opportunity without wasting any time and registered her as one of the ladies. And that was how Esther came into the palace with all other young ladies as well. But we all know the story. That out of all of them, Esther eventually was chosen as the queen. She found favor with the king. Hallelujah. So she was chosen to be the queen. I told you at the beginning that I want to show you how you can eliminate antitrust attitudes, because those attitudes can prevent you from taking delivery of the goodness of God in your life. Praise the Lord. One thing that we know is that the Lord is good. That we are here today is because of the goodness of God. That you are saved at all is because of the goodness of God. God has been good. Hallelujah. In good times, he remains good. In not so good times, he remains good. God has given us, the Bible says, great and precious promises. He's made promises to us. Amen. And there's something that anytime that I read it in the Bible, it was the experience of the children of Israel when Joshua was in leadership. And during the end of Joshua's ministry, the children of Israel made a confession even before him and said, if you read it in Joshua 21 and verse 45, they say, all the promises that God has made to us, none of his has failed. Every promise that God made to the children of Israel, he said, none of it failed. Now that makes me to understand that when God makes a promise, he can't fail. So God is a promise keeper. Men break promises. There are many promises that you have made even to yourself. And you yourself, you broke your own promise. You couldn't keep your promise to yourself. So I want us to see certain things in the text that we read today about Esther, so that we can learn from how she dealt with those antitrust attitude that was in her. Praise the Lord. Many of us read the story of Esther and you feel, oh God, she's such a perfect person. She had wisdom. She had all this one. She had all this one. No. There were times that she didn't have everything all figured out. Hallelujah. She needed to depend on the wisdom and the instructions that were given to her by people that were placed in her life. Praise the Lord. Many a times you come to a church, you listen to the word of God, instructions come through the word of God, and many a times we just take it with levity. When we leave this place, we even forget all about it. As if it is not important. This is a major problem that believers have and are struggling with. And it is called procrastination. Say it with me. Procrastination. It is the most dangerous of all antitrust attitudes in a believer or in anybody. Procrastination. What does it mean to procrastinate? It's to always be putting things off. I will do it tomorrow. Hello, somebody. There are certain things that you can put off. They are mundane things. Mundane are like, my room is all choked up. Hello. This week, I must clear out what is not necessary. My kitchen is upside down. I must make sure I put everything in order and organize it properly. Hello, somebody. And then the week comes, and then you do nothing about it, and you say, next week I will do it. I will have more time then. Hello? And the next week will come, and yet you still will not do it. Because many a times we feel that, well, it really doesn't matter. But if you have worked with God for a while, you will know that time matters to God. Now, you may say, those things are not important. What about things that are a little bit even more important? How about your health? Your health is important to you. This thing, maybe I should go and see the doctor. Then you keep postponing it because the thing has not really gotten you down yet. I will go tomorrow. Praise the Lord. What about investments? What about business? There are nudges that we receive sometimes about certain things that we need to do. And it comes to us as at that time. But we keep putting it off. I will do it tomorrow. I will do it next day. A lady was sharing a test, you know, well, should I say it's a testimony, but her experience, which actually made the passing away of her mom so painful to her. She said, because she has always looked at her mom that, look, she's just a drama queen. Any little thing like this, you know, my mom just blows everything out of proportion. So this morning, the mother called her. I said, well, come on, let's discuss this thing. Let's discuss it. It's very important. This one, we have to do it. She said, mommy, I'll see you when I see you. I will see you when I see you. The day I went to visit her, when the mom passed away, she saw me, she broke down. She said, my mom left too early. That is bad enough. My mom sent for me. I kept postponing. She said, I don't even have the opportunity to apologize to her. That when she called on me, I didn't show up. Is somebody listening? Now, those are the kind of things that probably you will say, these are not mundane, these are important things. But we like to put things off. I will do it tomorrow. Praise the Lord. I will do it day after. God brings an instruction. Go and do this. I will do it tomorrow. Hallelujah. Let's go into the Bible and see what the Bible says about tomorrow. Hello. Open your Bible to Psalm 25. Verse 7. Are you there? Please read. Okay, that's not the one that I want you to read. I want you to read James, the book of James. Let's go to James. James chapter 4 and verse 13. Let's read that one because we are talking about tomorrow. You know, there's so many things that we say. And the more you are exposed to the word of God, the more you see that you really do not have tomorrow. Hallelujah. Anything that you have told anyone or yourself that you are going to do tomorrow, it is not because you have the certainty of tomorrow. Anybody has a certainty of tomorrow? Are you there? Verse 13. James chapter 4 and verse 13. Go. So now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Listen to 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. Praise the Lord. He said, we do not have the certainty of tomorrow. That already cancels out procrastination. You can't keep putting things off when you do not have a certainty of tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Let me define procrastination. What is procrastination? It's when we put off set goals and keep putting off steps necessary to achieve them. We're all guilty of this, one way or the other. From the mundane, the problem about procrastination is when you get used to allowing it in the mundane things, things that are not really very, important. They are not destiny issues. The thing is, when you get used to doing that, when it comes to destiny issues, it flows into it. That's the danger. It flows into it. Because what you keep doing for a long time becomes habitual. And then it begins to affect every other thing that you do. Hallelujah. In the case of Esther, because when I was reading it, I never looked at, the reaction of Esther or the response of Esther to the instruction of Mordecai as being as procrastinating. I never saw her as a procrastinator. But when the Holy Ghost brought my attention to it, I said, God. Because when Mordecai, from what we read, he sent a message to Esther based on what he heard. Hallelujah. He said, Esther, this is what is about to happen. They're about to destroy your people. The enemy is about to destroy the people you call your people. Hello. The first thing that she saw, the message that came was that Mordecai was in. He had ashes all over him. Remember? He had sackcloth on. He said, it is not right for anybody to come before the king's gate in sackcloth and with ashes. It's a taboo. So how am I going to deal with the situation? She went to go and bring beautiful robes. Hello? And Mordecai was like, what are we saying? What are you saying? You think this one is about cloth to wear? Then she sent another message. Okay, so what is the issue? And he told her, this is the issue. You've got to do something now, so that what they had planned will not happen. This is where a lot of us are challenged. And I kept asking myself, why do we really procrastinate? What is really responsible for it? Why would Esther give the kind of response he gave to Mordecai? Mordecai had been Esther's mentor. If it had not been for Mordecai, Esther would not be where she is. Can we agree on that? So Esther had been obedient to Mordecai's mentorship. She had surrendered and submitted to it, and it has brought her to a position of elevation. Hallelujah. Now she got there, she started doubting. are saying, well, the real issue here now is, you see, I know that there are goodies behind that door, but the issue is the door is locked. Hello? He takes me back to the experience the children of Israel had also. Because when I was in, you know, I love to compare spiritual truths with spiritual truths. When the children of Israel left Egypt, 430 years of bondage, they were delivered by the power of God. They saw miracles that God performed. They got to the sea. They saw the enemy pursuing them. They saw the high mountains on the left and on the right. And they saw the Red Sea in front of them. Hello? Not one of them could believe to see the goodness of the Lord. The same people that saw the miracles, they started complaining and mumbling. Moses, why did you bring us here? Did we not tell you to leave us where we were and let us continue to be in our bondage? You said we must be free. You said God has promised us a land flowing with milk and honey. The land of Canaan, where nothing is missing, nothing is broken. Hallelujah. And nothing is lacking. That we will have everything that we need in life. That every prayer will be answered. Every promise will be fulfilled. Why did you bring us here to suffer? Hallelujah. Because they saw the Red Sea. They saw it that the promise of God is nullified by the Red Sea. Many of us, that's the way we interpret the challenge and the opposition we face in life. You see it that it has more power to cancel what God has said to you. We give up because we think that that obstacle has more power than the word of promise that God has given. And the challenge is there to make us to forget what God has said. That he is a promise keeper. That he's not a man that he should lie. Neither the son of man that he should repent. That whatsoever that he says, he will do. What he speaks, he will make it good. Praise the Lord. So when God told them, he said, I'm taking you somewhere. You saw sea. You thought, I have changed my mind. What has God spoken to you? What instruction has he given you? Praise the Lord. You go to a place, God says, go to that company. Go and drop your this thing there. Application for contract. Go to this place. Drop your application for admission. Hello. Go to that place and go and ask that person. Hello. But once you get there and they give you any negative information, the day the thing has closed, has stopped, the door is locked, what most of us do is we now come back. And you tell God, I got there where you say I should go, but when I got there, the door was locked. Praise the Lord. That's what a lot of us do. That's what we do. Now, I like the way that God answered Moses. He said, please stop all that nonsense talk. Will you stop crying and stop? This is not a crying matter. Let me tell your neighbor, it's not a crying matter. It's a creativity matter. Hallelujah. It's a creativity matter. What are you talking about? Do we really know who we are? No, really. Do we really know who we are? Would we acknowledge that we are powerful people? Do you know that your destiny is unstoppable? Do you know that the plans of God for your life is indestructible? They can't be destroyed. Do you know that the purposes of God for your life cannot be annulled? There is no meeting in heavenlies, on the earth, or under the earth that can come out with a communique, hello, to nullify the plan of God for your life. There is no power that can do it. They were not present when the decision was made by God. They were not part of the decision that brought you into this world. They cannot be the part of the decision that will take you out. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
Procrastination. A procrastinator is one who has the wisdom to know what to do. Now, this one, this, I want you now to see a procrastinator. A procrastinator is not somebody that lacks instruction. He already has the instruction. He knows what to do. Praise the Lord. Mordecai told Esther, go in unto the king. Because only the king can bring deliverance to the people. So there was an instruction. Can we all agree on that? Praise the Lord. So, a procrastinator is one who has the wisdom to know what to do. A procrastinator is one that has the skill to even do it. Praise the Lord. You have the skill to do it. Some of the things that we put off. Some of you can pray. Hello? You can pray. You can even persevere in prayer. But the real challenge is the praying. I'm going to start reading my Bible now. I can see some faces just... Some faces just went down. He caught you there. I'm going to start now. I will be reading my Bible. I'll start tomorrow. And tomorrow never ends. You put it off to tomorrow. Then tomorrow comes, then you still don't do it. Hallelujah. You know what to do. You know it is the right thing to do. You know that the word of God is lamp unto our feet, as we have heard this morning, a light unto our path. You know that through the word of God, you will come to deliverance. The word that comes can heal you. It can deliver you from destruction. You know you can get correction from the word of God, direction from the word of God, the guidance that you need, information that is necessary for you to take delivery of what you believe God for. You know that it is in that Bible. But the issue is you keep putting it off. I will read it tomorrow. I will start this week. Hello? So if God even wants to talk to you and say something to you by something that is in your heart, that is burning in your heart, and you are looking unto God, the Lord God, show me, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And God is saying, read my Bible. Let me talk to you through my word. And then you keep putting it off. That's why many people get to a point they are discouraged. They are discouraged in their walk with God. No, it is because you did not follow the instruction. Because you kept procrastinating. Hello? So a procrastinator is one who has the wisdom to know what to do, the skill to do it, but lacks the willpower to get up and do it. This is the problem that a lot of people have. It is that willpower, the zeal, to get the thing done. Put putting things off is actually condemned by the word of God. How do I know that? Proverbs 27 and verse 1. Proverbs 27 and verse 1. Are you there? Are you there?
Yes.
Please read.
Don't brag about tomorrow.
Don't do what?
Don't brag about tomorrow.
Don't brag about tomorrow. What is the Bible telling you? Stop procrastinating. Saying, I will put something up to tomorrow. He said, stop bragging about it. Don't brag about tomorrow. Because what? You do not know what that day is going to bring. Do you know what tomorrow is going to bring? You don't know. So stop bragging about it. If you need to do something, if the Holy Ghost is nagging you to do something, nudging you, get up and do it. Praise the Lord. Help me tell your neighbor. Get up and do it because you do not know what tomorrow will bring. Every one of us ought to see a window of opportunity as something that we cannot afford to miss. See every situation as a window of opportunity that you cannot afford to miss. Many, as a result, have caused their destiny to shipwreck because they kept putting things off. Because they were bragging about tomorrow. Meanwhile, we don't know what tomorrow will bring. Hallelujah. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. God is saying, go and bless this person. I will do it tomorrow. I will do it next week. One thing that I know about the blessing is, when God wants to bless you yourself, He will create an opportunity for you to be a blessing. May you understand that by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. It's the principle of sowing and reaping. Hallelujah. Many wants to reap, but they are not willing to sow. The Holy Ghost is nudging you and telling you, giving you instruction, go and do this thing. You are still waiting. Hallelujah. Let's see what the Bible also says. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 4. In the Bible, procrastination is a big deal. Don't you ever think it's not a big deal? And I will tell you today why it is a big deal. Are you there? 11 and verse 4. Read. Whosoever does what? He said, if you are observing the wind, you will not sow. If you are looking at the cloud, what will happen? You will not what? Say it again. You will not reap. If you are observing, you are looking at the cloud. Hallelujah. God is telling you to go somewhere. You say, you look outside and say, it looks as if it's going to rain. Maybe I should postpone it to tomorrow. Isn't that what we do? That's what we do. It's a window of opportunity. May it not be shot at you.
Amen.
We take things with levity as if time does not matter. Procrastination is a space in life, and you do not want to occupy it. Life creates spaces everywhere. It creates a space, a platform for you to prosper. It creates a space for your prayers to be answered.
He creates a place for the promise of God to be fulfilled in your life. There are spaces that life creates for every man and everyone. The choice is yours. Which type of space you will occupy. And the space you occupy will determine your destiny. That was what Mordecai wanted Esther to know. A platform has been created for you. You see, that's why as Christians, please, you need to know something. You are a kingdom citizen. You are not of this world. Even though we are in the world, we are not of this world. We don't belong here. The reason why God left you here, you got born again, he didn't take you straight to heaven, you are still here, is that he has created a space for you here. That as his own child, you occupy that place and then you conquer it for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So if you are here today, you still think your job that you are doing is so that you can put food over your table. You've been tricked. The devil has been lying to you, but the lie stops from today. Amen. Hallelujah. It is a space, a platform that God has created for you, for his kingdom. That's why the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom. Hallelujah. So when you get a job as a child of God, the first thing you should ask yourself is, so then, what's the plan here? What's the plan here? The plan is not always how you can build bigger barns to put your possessions. A man tried it, the Bible said, that night his life was asked of him. Because he didn't know the reason why he was here. He didn't know why a space was created for him. He didn't know why God gave him the platform that he had. He didn't know. He was ignorant. He thought it's to put food and drink on his table and clothes to wear. Guess what? The Bible already says it, that the kingdom of God is not food and drink. So if you take your space thinking that, like Esther, I'm there as a queen. Hallelujah. That's why when she first heard about Mordecai, all she wanted to do is to give him a cloth to wear. He's wearing sackcloth. Let him give him strict look. Why? Because you think now you are in the position to change your wardrobe. Hello, somebody. Somebody can send another. He said, ah, you know, you can't go to the king. The king has not called for me. That's what some of you are waiting for. You have the power to break the door down. Oh, Lord. A child of God must see himself or herself as someone that cannot be denied. You have to see yourself as such. That you cannot be denied. It's important. You don't take no for an answer. Not when God has told you, I will do this for you. My presence will go with you. And you got there and somebody is trying to move you here and there. Don't you know that the devil will always want to confront you? Hello? That's why sometimes our actions and attitudes sometimes shows that we believe the devil more than we believe God. The devil will stand at the door and say, you can't go out of that door. And we will believe. We will come and sit here. And be crying to God. Hello? Like Moses went to him and he said, stop crying. I've given you the authority. Use the authority that I've given unto you. Part the Red Sea. Esther, stop talking nonsense here. Use the authority that I've given unto you. Break the door down. Glory be to Jesus. Break it down. Pull it down. You know, sometimes, even on an ordinary thing, even people who really don't even know what they have or know God that well, there are some people that they use, even their obojo, natural boldness will get them somewhere. But many of us were so timid, and the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. But we are so timid. How can we be so powerful and be acting so powerless? Hello? A lady once went to go and put, you know, her money in one of these funny, in those days, I've forgotten what they call those, you know, those finance houses that just sprang up, organized from the feet of them to gather the finances of people and devour them, where they will give you 80% of your investment upfront. Can anybody remember those days?
Yes.
And I know one lady that went to go and put her money there. All of a sudden, the finances went bust. And this woman said to herself, I don't care what has happened to the finances. All I know is I'm getting money. Let them go bust and bust it. My own money that I invested there, I'm collecting it. She went to the place one morning, got to the office, shouted on everybody that is there, say, I'm here. My name is so-so-so and so. I am here this morning to collect my money. I invested so-so-so as much of money. I'm not leaving this place. She went with one Irambu bank with bathroom slippers into the place. And sat down on the floor there. I said, I'm not leaving. Go and call your MD here. He owes me money. He must pay me before I leave this place. The woman refused to leave. He did not allow anybody to enter. He didn't allow anybody to leave. You are not going in. You are not coming out. She stood by the door of the place. Sat there. I said, until your MD brings my money. Beloved, that day she got her money. She got her money from the place. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. But many of us will stop at that point and say, oh, it has gone, oh, that's the end. You go somewhere, they say, no, the door is locked, and you just go back. And you say that thing is impossible because the door was not open to you. The devil is a liar. Hallelujah. Where is the age abiding door? Where is the gates? All ye gates, be that lifted up, for the King of glory is about to come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord God Mighty. Tell yourself, I must change. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So procrastination is a big deal in the Bible. Because, number one, it has to do with stewardship of time and opportunity. It has to do with stewardship of time and opportunity. I told you many a times, many of us are praying for things to happen. And God has answered your prayer. I said, God has not answered your prayer. No, He answered it with an opportunity. The problem you have is you couldn't recognize that this is a window of opportunity that God has given to you. It is a big deal in the Bible because it has to do with stewardship. Stewardship unto God. Service unto God. What have you done with what I gave you? Hallelujah. James chapter 4, verse 13 to 14. Let's quickly read that and I'm about to close. James 4, 13. It says, we have read that. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go in such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. So it has to do with what you spend your time doing. You can't keep putting things off.
There are destiny issues, things that are really very important. Hallelujah. You just cannot afford to be putting them off, because those things has to do with your own destiny. Can you imagine what would have happened if Esther had told Mordecai and insisted that there is nothing that she can do? Mordecai told her, said, you see what's going to happen? Where you think that you have put your backyard, you are sitting comfortably. He said, they are about to remove the chair. May that not be your portion.
Amen. What has made you really very comfortable now? Hello? Now that you can buy fish that is still alive, swimming in the water. He said, don't allow dry potato to replace it. Hello?
That chicken from Sweet Sensation, sensationing you. Hello, don't let it be replaced with mama. Know ye not the purpose for which you have come to the kingdom at such a time as this? Praise the Lord. Number two, procrastination is a big deal in the Bible because it is a presumptuous sin. It's actually a sin. That's why David said in Psalm 19 and verse 13, deliver me, O Lord, from presumptuous sin. And James chapter 4 and verse 17. We've read that. He that knoweth the good to do and doeth it not. Remember, a procrastinator, he knows what to do. He has the skill to do it. But the willpower is the challenge. He that doeth it not, unto him it is a sin. That's what James chapter 4 and verse 17 says. So to continue to procrastinate, I will do it tomorrow. God is telling you, get up. I will get up tomorrow. Hello? Go and do this thing. I will do it tomorrow. The instruction will come. I will see what I can do about it. And you keep sitting down and you keep putting it off. And the Bible is telling you right now. The Bible condemns it. It is a sin. And many of us, God has been instructing us on some things that we are sitting on. We are not getting it done. And we are giving all manner of excuses. Just like Esther too is giving the excuse. Excuse is what? I've said it before here. What is an excuse? Hello? Hallelujah. What is an excuse? It is a sin that camouflages itself in reasoning. Excuse is what? Is a sin. It only camouflages itself in reasoning. Like I cannot, the king has not sent for me. When he sends for me, that's when I will go. That's a camouflage. God help us. To overcome this procrastination, what do I need to do? Because right now, I'm sure a lot of us you've been seeing the areas that you have been procrastinating. On destiny issues. We're not even talking about mundane things now. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about taking your shoe that the thing has come off at the back to the shoemaker. Those are mundane things. Praise the Lord. But you see, I'm not writing off those ones either. Because once you keep putting off those little ones too, it will start growing and affecting the real big ones. Hello? Number one thing, how to overcome. You've got to view it as a sin. You know, when people don't see something as a sin, that's when they just believe it doesn't really matter. The Bible says it's a sin. You have had it today. You have read it yourself. It is a sin. A presumptuous sin. May the Lord deliver us from it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Number two. Value time and opportunity. Value time and opportunity. If you value time, you will fulfill instructions as you are given. You will not put things off. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 5 and verse 16. It says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The days are evil. Is there anybody here who really cannot perceive that the days we live in are evil? Is there anybody here? Does everybody agree that the days are evil? These days are evil. That's why you and I cannot brag about tomorrow. We've got to do what we need to do because the days are so evil. Evil forces wants to stop us every day because the days are evil. So when a window of opportunity comes to you, seize the moment. Don't put it off because the days are evil. Anything can happen. The things that you think that 2 + 2 can be 4, tomorrow you may discover that your 2 + 2 cannot equals 4. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Because you never know. It's like somebody says, oh, I want to marry this guy because he's very handsome. He has this. He works in Chevron. He works in this one. He has, you know, he's well positioned. He's this one. He's that one. Then 24 months down the line, he lost the Chevron job. They took the car. Hello, somebody. Then maybe one sickness will now show up. And all his savings. What are you going to do? Because if your love is based on variables, you are in trouble. You are in serious trouble. Oh, I like the way his hair is, the way he cut his ears. 20 years down the line, he's bald. So what are you going to do? He has pot belly. You like his six pack before. Oh, come on. By the time you cook him serious food, and the guy is eating, you begin to see from here, this is the place where he stands. Then pot belly will be showing. He doesn't have to drink beer. It's just good food. And then he's wearing the button of his shirt. The thing is gaping like this. Hello? What do you do? When you cannot recognize the person you married again. Hallelujah. So you see that what keeps a marriage together is more than variables. Praise the Lord. I just thought I should throw that in. It might be worth something to someone. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, the third one, and I close here. Remember, God rewards diligence and not laziness. God rewards diligence and not laziness. And I say a few things about that. Why I said laziness is because there are certain things that actually are responsible for us that cause us to procrastinate. Number one, indecisiveness. A lot of people are just indecisive. It's a problem. You just don't, just make up your mind. Another thing is fear. Fear of failure will not cause you to make a decision. What if I tried it and it didn't work? Well, I always ask the next question. What if you tried it and it worked? Indecisiveness. James chapter 1. Verse 6 to 8. Indecisiveness. You have to believe and convince yourself that God can be trusted. And he really can be trusted. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Help me tell your neighbor, God can be trusted. Yeah. The second one, perfectionist. Those are the people that Ecclesiastes 11:4 was talking about. You are looking for a perfect condition. It's because I don't have a car. That's why I cannot do the visitation. Hello? When God gives me the car, then I will do it. He said, if you look at the cloud, if you observe what? The wind. You won't do anything. Fear. Proverbs 29 and verse 25. A lot of people are just afraid. Last one, laziness. Proverbs 13 and verse 4. Proverbs 29 and 25. That's fear. Then laziness. Proverbs 13 and verse 4. Stop giving excuses. That's what God is telling you. Eliminate this antitrust attitude of procrastination. It's just a lack of trust. If you trust God, you won't be afraid. Hallelujah. When God tells you to do something, do it. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19. He says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. You want to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? You must be willing and obedient to the word of God and not procrastinate and not keep putting things off till tomorrow. You can't brag about a tomorrow that you do not have the control over. Only God has tomorrow in his hand. Praise the Lord. Rise on your feet. You are here today, you've been procrastinating. God is coming to you today with this message today to eliminate that procrastination out of your life. And get you up to do what you need to do. Many opportunities have been lost already because of procrastination. But thanks be unto God that you are still alive. It's another opportunity for you from today. It's a new day. Start on the right track. And tell yourself, no more. I'm through wasting time and losing life. There's so much more that I can put into the time that God has given unto me. You need to talk to God about it. If you've been procrastinating, the Bible says it's a sin. So what do you do with sin? You confess it before God. You know you have procrastinated. You know the instruction that God has given unto you. You know what God told you to do. And you have not done it. You have neglected or refused to do it, to obey God. You need to repent. God is asking you to repent of it today. Repent. So you can start afresh. God can be trusted. He can be trusted. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
So when God makes a demand of you, do it. Because he will back you up. Stop giving excuses. So repent of the excuses that you have been given. Repent of the time that you didn't use for what God asked you to use it for. Repent of the space that he gave to you. And you thought it was all about you and not about the kingdom. Beloved, let's come clean before God today. Every one of us have manifested procrastination in one way or the other in our lives. And that's why God is bringing the word to you today. He said it's time that it's be eliminated out of your life. Ask God to forgive you. Ask for his mercy. Ask for his mercy. Mordecai told Esther, lest your family may be destroyed completely. Lest the queenship that you think that you are enjoying today be taken away from you. Pray that the Lord will not take his presence away from you. Pray that he will not cast you away from his presence. Tell the Lord you want to be a partaker of his abundant power and blessing. Ask him to grant you a newness of life, a newness of attitude towards the instructions that God brings your way, the nudgings that the Holy Spirit brings your way, nudging you and nagging you. Ask the Lord to remember you for his goodness sake. Ask him to remember you for his goodness sake. Shall we lift up our two hands before God? Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you for your word. We come before your throne of grace today to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in this time of need. Lord, we confess our presumptuous sin of procrastination. There are many instructions, leadings, promptings that we have received by your Spirit that we have neglected. Father, we ask that you will forgive us. We ask that your mercy will prevail over judgment concerning us. And Lord, today, Father, Lord, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice that have been procrastinating on their destiny issues and purpose. Father, let your mercy prevail.
Amen.
Let your mercy locate them today.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I pray, Lord God Almighty, because with you, your compassion never fails. And your mercies are new every morning. By your mercy and the shed blood of Jesus. Father, open new doors. Of opportunities.
Amen.
Unto your people.
Amen.
Whatever, Lord God Almighty, that they have missed,
I ask, Father, Lord, that you will restore.
Amen.
I ask that you would turn the mistakes to miracles.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, as you turned, O God Almighty, the attitude of Esther from pleasure to purpose, turn their attitudes, O Lord, today. By your power and the power in your word, let that attitude of just pleasure be turned to an attitude of purpose. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father Lord. By your power, every procrastinating attitude is eliminated, is completely destroyed. In the mighty name of Jesus. By the power in the blood of Jesus, that spirit of procrastination, I bind and destroy your works in the life of everyone under the sound of my voice. Loose your hold from their hearts and their minds right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord. I release the spirit of diligence to begin to find expression through your life by the power of God. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have given thanks. Shall we put our hands together for Jesus? Hallelujah. Beloved, right now, please take your seat. We are about to take a communion quickly.